Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
I was just blamed for the silence in the last podcast.
Well, you would think after so many years you would know how to use a mic and the on-off switch.
Oh, my God.
You asked for it.
Excuse me.
Set it right
up. Me too.
Hashtag not all microphones. I don't even know what that means. Laurie Kilmartin, I'm Jackie Cation.
Oh.
What's going on?
I'm tired.
I don't begrudge you that.
I
just got off that run, so I'm exhausted.
Oh, what? Wait, the Bethlehem. Oh, did you go to Cafe El Latte after, you know, the brunch place I suggested to you?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I knew
Where
you wouldn't.
It?
I knew
oh, wait,
you wouldn't.
No, I couldn't find it because I was
in my
car.
You just had to walk left.
I know. I went right and then I stopped in
you
New
went
Jersey.
Right? That's exactly not what I told you to
Let
do.
Let me tell you something about my sense of direction. Here's the good news. I don't get a lot of my self-esteem from it. here's the bad news. It's terrible. Andy says that 80% against all mathematical probability, I choose wrong.
And so where did you eat?
Who cares? It was
I want to know. It's my neighborhood.
I didn't eat in your neighborhood. I ate in New Jersey.
What a hostile act.
It was hostile. It was I left my coffee in my car. There's a hostile act. It's
Because I went to yoga later.
Oh, that's
And then
that's
I was
right.
walking past Cafe El Latte, and I was peering in looking for you. I didn't see you.
To see if I had lingered somehow?
Yes. Yeah.
I did not. I went to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was lovely.
Yeah.
Because it was... a smaller room than the room that Maria did.
Oh.
And it was the night that the Philadelphia football team...
Eagles.
...made it into the Super Bowl.
Right.
I got all the words in a row. Good for me.
Football, Super Bowl. Have you been rehearsing that for 4 days
you
straight?
You would think. It's me just not just calling it the pitcher with the sports. And it was like 100 people.
Yeah.
Who wanted to see stand-up instead of watching the Philadelphia Eagles play football.
Oh, my God.
And so they were on board.
That's great.
I sold a shitload of merch.
Oh, really?
Weirdly enough, which was good because I
schlepped
it.
You were just about to drop
it.
All your merch.
Yeah, because I didn't sell any in Long Island.
Oh, my God.
And,
is that not a merch club?
The Governors? It wasn't for me. It was set up weird. I had them do a table.
Yeah.
But it was too late. I should have done the table.
Are you catching people on the way out? Or like, what do you mean?
They used to have a door that they all had to file past, so there was a sort of a bar
right.
level kind of thing. But they didn't send them out that door. They sent them out the door they went into, so they never came by unless they wanted something specific.
Oh.
So they didn't have to walk by my beautiful union-made merch.
It's good to know what isn't a good merch room, so you don't want to bring 50 pounds of stuff to a club.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. It's and I'm going to Acme this week, and Acme's a good merch club. And and plus I'm bringing all the Spooky Reading Girl enamel pins and the Meat Shield enamel pins, and I should sell them out.
How much are they?
They're 2 for $20. So
it's a steal.
Everything's $20.
I have Dead People Suck bottle openers.
I know it. Have you started?
No, I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, well,
I mean, I got them from Audible, and I think they're going to send me some more. So,
how many did you get? Like 100?
I have like 25 in this little baggie.
That seems nice.
I'm doing some promo for L Book, mm-hmm. and it's funny when you're like somebody I talked to had read it and like was really into it, and then somebody else hadn't heard at all, like didn't know why I was being. After I realized, I'm like, oh, I gotta like reread my book so I can explain what it is.
Right.
I also feel like I wrote it. It's done. Like it's like going over old material to me now,
yeah.
and I don't. I've moved on.
You have. Moved
I wanted
on.
To get solo
but
out,
you
but
can't move on
emotionally. I've moved on creatively. Yeah. I've moved on, and to like go back and reread or to, you know. It's not my nature, but I have to make it my nature for the next 2 months.
Right. It's just like movie star people who the movie's over, they're done, And then they have to do the promo run. That's exactly what this is. This is, you're just like Matt Damon.
You calling me a movie star doesn't make up for you turning off my mic and pretending I did it.
I didn't touch your mic. People
you
should
reached
know
over.
That we were nowhere near each other. People, my brother
told
me that.
We were separated by my radiator.
My brother said that it was hilarious that we were whispering so we didn't wake up
Mia.
Your friend.
Yes, my roommate.
Yeah. And,
although I don't think she can hear all the weird, but you never know.
You don't know, and you're the best roommate in the world.
I try to be.
Yeah, there you go. And then so I went to Bethlehem,
right?
And I drove, and then I came back, and I stayed in a Hampton Inn in
Manhattan.
In Manhattan,
where
did I have a rash when I talked to you last?
No,
I just
but
had
I
my boobs hurt, right? That was the last thing you heard
neither,
of my health.
I don't look at your skin a lot, and I've never seen your boobs.
No, but I believe I told you I had shooting pains in my boobs.
Oh, you did. That's
yeah,
right.
There you go. So I'm not saying you should remember, but that's one of the things that was going on. Now I have that, and I'm covered in a rash.
Why? What
because
happened?
Because I must have been allergic to the soap at the Hampton Inn on 34th and 8th
Avenue.
You know
what? Those motherfuckers, they took my glasses and they gave you a rash.
They gave me
that
a rash.
Hampton Inn.
But then I stayed at a nicer Hampton Inn and then a Doubletree and then a weird homestead whatever in New
this
Haven,
is,
Yale town.
Wait, you kept bopping around? You only stayed in one place one night? Because you only had
so
the
many,
points for
so
it?
Many shows.
Oh, no. I see.
No, I had three nights in
Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Did
I
you
did,
do spots?
I, yeah.
Where?
I did. Monday I did Aparna and Maeve's new show where Night Train was in Littlefield.
Maeve Higgins?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
In
Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn.
Wow.
In Littlefield. And that was super fun.
Wow.
And that was the 8 o'clock show on Monday. The 11 o'clock I did Whiplash at the new UCB.
Oh. Do you like your room?
I'm sorry, it's not as bad as Sunset.
Are you talking Inner Sanctum or Maine?
Maine. Inner Sanctum is actually not that bad. Maine is, it's just too open. And it was like, it's not like they don't know how to build a theater.
Well, they're taking over an existing room, right? They're not building their own theater.
They built that. They got to pick.
Maybe improv laughs go up.
That stand might be the name.
Stand-up laughs go out. And so we need a low ceiling.
Yes. But it was, well, so it wasn't, it was okay. It was actually, it was better than Sunset.
Does
so
it have,
it's a little smaller, a little tighter.
Do they have the same sort of people standing out in a line? I mean, it's a free show, so I guess and it's great comics, so they're going to have the same audience move over with them.
Whiplash? Yeah, totally moved over.
Oh,
totally moved
good.
Over, totally sold out. Super fun.
Yeah, who was
and
on
then,
it with you?
It was, oh, I kept running into, God dang it. I'm spacing his name. He is from Portland. His name is Ian.
Carmel.
That's it. Yes, it's Ian Carmel. So I kept running into Ian Carmel.
Yeah.
And Josh Gondelman.
Yeah.
And it was a delight.
That's awesome.
Oh, and Shane Torres.
Wow. That's he's also from Portland, right?
Yeah.
That's a nice trio of guys to keep running into.
Yeah, because those are all, you know what those guys are? Decent walking around gentlemen.
Yeah.
Those are
and
perfectly
great
nice
comics.
Guys and great
yes.
comics. I don't know which they'd prefer first. Probably great comics.
Yeah.
Though maybe good men. And it was the week that Josh Gondelman did his Seth Meyers set.
Oh.
Which ended up being super cool.
Well, that's great.
And so then Tuesday I did Irish Exit.
Oh, that's a fun gig. That's on Second, right? In the 50s or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I go there and I get there early and I go up to the bartender. Like
that's
you
Mark
do.
Norman and Matt Ruby's room, right?
No, Jeremy from Whiplash books it.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And so I was early and I said to the bartender, hey, I'm one of the comics. How's that Turkish place next door? And he said, we have food here. The comedy show's going to start in about half an hour. And I said, well, allow me to get some food here then. And I did. I got a weird bowl. It was a bowl of food. Oh. It was weirdly all separate piles of food,
mm-hmm.
like a pile of tomatoes, a pile of black
like
beans,
like
a pile
a
of guacamole.
Bento bowl or whatever.
Except for that not separated
box.
By anything. It was just stacked. And a pile of a chicken breast that had been grilled. It was actually, I ate it in a circle. Anyway, so while
oh my
I'm
God.
Eating.
This is the most specific.
It's a great story.
Detail.
Allow me to continue. There was a guy who heard me say that I was one of the comics and is sort of a classic. this sounds mean. I'm just going to say he was a goony-looking dude,
mm-hmm.
but only because he opened his mouth and mm-hmm. said goony things out of it. And what he said was, so you're one of the, and he was half in the bag
mm.
when he started talking to me at 7:30 at night
at the Irish
on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he goes, so you're one of the comics? And I said, yeah. He said, you know Nick DiPaolo? And I said, I've met Nick DiPaolo.
His opinion of you hinges on your answer.
Yes. And then he goes, you know David Tell? And I said, I've met him as well. And he goes, those are my favorite comics. And I go, well, it's not going to work out then, is it? Because I'm going to go up. And and he goes, you don't like those guys? And I said, I like a Tell. And I've laughed at Nick DiPaolo, but they're not, it's not, I don't know what to tell you.
They don't make you
breathe. Well, they're not for me.
Right, right.
And I mean, and I can't imagine, and I know David Tell a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I've met him a handful of times versus yeah. the one time I met Nick DiPaolo.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't, yeah, I got, I, so, but it's so weird that.
Is this guy hitting on you?
I don't know what he, I can't imagine. And then, or I couldn't tell. So he goes back to the bar.
I think that's the latter.
And then a half an hour later, when we're all just sitting around, and then we're going to get up and all go in, he comes up to me and goes, you ready to go up?
Oh, God.
Are you any good?
No.
Are you any good?
No.
And I said, yeah. He asked me three times, are you any good? And I have my stock answer to that is, I'm a genius. It's hard to be me. Because fuck that guy.
yeah, he was hitting on you.
Was that what it was?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know what to do with that either.
Well, yeah. Well, you're married. You don't have
married.
To do anything
I don't
with
do
it.
Anything with it. Tell him to move, keep moving.
Keep moving.
Anyway.
Attell's coming.
And then I went to the slipper room, and a woman came up to me after the show.
Neat,
that's the Seth Herzog one.
Oh, that's a really neat space.
It was really cool.
I've done a show there before.
Yeah. And that was super fun.
Yeah.
And and Victor Varnado was on that one.
Oh, my God.
Remember Victor Varnado?
Yes, of course I do.
He's
from Minneapolis. I already told this once. He came here with a pile, came to New York with a pile of money that he had earned from C++ programming because he was like way higher up on the any sort of programming script. Like I was doing scripting languages as he was a programmer. I'm like, fuck, you got it made, man. You can do C++ anytime you want.
There's work whenever you want it, Victor Varnado.
I'm like, he's got it made.
He auditioned for. The bad guy, I think that he said the bad guy in Black Panther, maybe the Punisher was a black albino.
Wow.
And he said, I'm the most famous black albino in the world.
He is.
So I was auditioned for it, but it turns out I'm not the meanest looking black albino guy. And I was supposed to look like a super villain. No, he's super sweet looking.
Sweet looking, though.
Yeah, he had a joke back in the day that he said belonged to, that it was him and his writing partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is one of the reasons why I never had a writing partner. I'm like, who gets the joke? Who gets to keep the joke? And it was a joke about Anne Frank's diary,
mm-hmm.
how Anne Frank's in heaven as a normal 13-year-old, 16-year-old girl going, stop reading my diary. Why are you reading my diary?
Jews don't believe in heaven, as far as I know.
You know what? Taking that joke apart, not the point. Not the point of that story. I'm saying it's a funny joke. You're just like, allow me to get my scalpel out and tell you.
It makes no logical sense. Why would Anne Frank be hanging out with Jesus? It doesn't make sense. The God of the Nazis, by the way.
Oh, I think I beg to differ.
They consider themselves a Christian.
No, they did not. They were not Christian.
They were
the Nazis.
Lutherans and Catholics. They were. Poles. The Poles are all Catholics.
The people were. The Nazis weren't. The Nazis were atheists. No, go look it up. Yeah. Kyle backs me up on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, please email Lori Kilmartin and tell her that the Nazis were atheists. I'm not saying that the Christians aren't creeps and there aren't creepy Christians.
All right.
And clearly you were hurt by the Catholics when you were a child. But
The people cheering below are cheering for me and my responses,
well,
not
you. You keep telling yourself that. Anyway, so Maria and I then went to Boston. Then I went to Boston. I took the train
from
Penn Station to Boston.
Oh, was that nice?
It was incredible. I spent all of the money in the world.
You know what I decided to do? Because I'm in Rhode Island. I have a similar path. I decided to rent a car from JFK for the full week. It's $400 as opposed to renting it for a day, which is $200 just for that one What the fuck is going on
downstairs? All of a sudden it's an Armenian...
I know. I can't believe you're not dancing right now.
Pardon me while I break out my pinkies and start dancing to the side.
Do you have a goat dance you have to do?
That's Hava Nagila. Anyway,
so I'm going to land on a Monday and then drive a car, have a car for a couple days in Manhattan, which is, it's great to have at night because there's always parking spaces at night.
Okay.
And you save a lot of money on Uber and car and stuff. But parking at night in Harlem
is
going to be tough.
Yeah,
I'll
your neighborhood.
Have to be lucky. It's not terrible. It's not bad, but it's just there's everyone's home. You know, everyone, all the spaces are taken up.
But down in Manhattan or more Manhattan, whatever. Isn't Harlem Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay. But down to where the clubs, there's parking at night.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like you can jump around from club to club pretty easily and cheaply. And then I'll go to Mohegan Sun on Wednesday. And then I'm doing a book reading in Madison, Connecticut. I think it's called Julia Books.
Yeah.
On Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, I'm at the Comedy Connection in Rhode Island. And then drive back to JFK. In the car, I saved on cab fare. I kind of priced it out. I'm like, this is almost like breaking even.
Right. So wait, you have to return it to JFK and then fly home from JFK right then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Because what I did, of course, was return the car to Manhattan right by my hotel. And it was $47. I didn't have to go to JFK, which meant that I saved the cab fare.
That's nice. But
it was really great.
Where did you fly out of?
I didn't. I stayed in.
Oh, I see.
I came back
from
Pennsylvania, then
in.
You came back here. I stayed
in Los Angeles.
Yep. You came to Los Angeles. I stayed 3 more days in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Boston. And Maria and I, by the way, were made honorary inductees into the Harvard Lampoon.
No way. You were at Harvard?
We were at the Wilbur, but the Harvard Lampoon was like, we'd like to have you guys come.
Oh, my God.
It was baby Illuminati is what it was. It was tiny, like the most expensive haircuts in the world.
Right.
Men and women in a tiny room, but still a college because everyone with a solo cup. And so we're in this tiny room that's a library and we're just essentially, it's a cocktail party and everybody's wearing ties. And
they're all comedy writers.
And they're Harvard comedy writers and artists and business people.
Okay.
Because the Lampoon has 3 different tracks.
Right.
And we're sitting there.
And you two are dirty, dirty stand-ups from
we're
the
just dirty,
dirty road and your dirty, dirty colleges.
And they, I guess, as a group sometimes go and heckle stand-up comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Charmers. Anyway, so we're like, okay, well, it's been great meeting you guys. We're going to go get dinner, see if we can pick up a set over at the comedy studio, which, by the way, is gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because of you guys?
Yeah, because of us. Oh. That's why. No, we ate at that Chinese restaurant, though, and it was pretty good.
Oh, the Stephen Wright was discovered at?
The one that the comedy studio
Ding
was.
Ho, the Ding Ho.
I don't know. Was it called that?
That was the one Stephen Wright was at, yeah.
Yeah, was that the one you were at?
It was Boston. I don't know. It was a Chinese restaurant.
Well, Jackie.
I was wandering around. I know the name of the club.
You can't.
And it's off of Harvard Square. Is that something?
No, I don't know. I'm not from Boston either, but I'm trying to help you out here.
Well, someone's yelling at their television or whatever they're on watching this.
Who watches our podcast on their television?
Watch just the waveform. Go by. Anyway, so but here's the thing. We were going to leave and they're like, no, we want to actually honor you guys with an honorary membership. It'll take 10 minutes. 1 hour.
No. And so what happened?
We got put in the basement. Not kidding. Maria was starting to have
this
a small panic
like
attack.
Joe Pesci and Goodfellas, where he's about to get shot. Where he's about.
There were masks.
Yeah.
There was darkness and candles.
No.
It was Illuminati bullshit.
Was it an orgy?
It was not while we were there. And hooray. But here's the thing. So we were put in a room where we were asked things. One of the first questions is that the young man asked us was, what's the most baller thing you guys have ever done?
Oh, God.
The word baller was used.
I don't want to participate in this.
Maria looked so, she was like, what does that even, what does that even mean? And I said, I've been listening to Amazon Prime Top Pop, so I have heard the word baller. And she just was like, and then there were candles, and then there were masks, and if there's one thing Maria hates, it's fucking masks. She can't take it. And so I was standing next to her at one point going, just pretend it's a LARP. And she's been to live action role playing games that Andy has run, wherever it's just a costume party with game mechanics, right? And she's like, okay, all right. And I was like, it's going to be okay. And both times we were locked up, right? We were trapped in these rooms for a couple of minutes. It was with a woman. Like, there was a woman kid. And then the two women in masks were women.
I can't. And so, I can't understand this.
It was genuine. You can't
understand.
What is
the point
it.
Of this?
They were playing Illuminati. They were playing Harvard.
They do this with every person they induct?
Yeah. And they didn't want to tell us because then it would ruin the surprise, except for they don't know that I'm a comic and I don't like surprises.
You don't comics, like surprises?
No, comics don't like surprises. No. Do you like surprises?
Why? This is like, I have a family that's joined the junior league, and I'm like, why? I don't understand you. I have the same feeling. It just seems like it's some kind of 100-year-old set of traditions and rules that are followed unnecessarily. Oh, you have a medal.
They gave us medals.
It's
they
a
gave
medal
us a thing,
and it's got a
lanyard of some sort.
Yes, you can hang it around your neck like you are an Olympian.
And it says Harvard Lampoon on it. And then it has a picture of a bird.
That's a pelican.
Thank you. I don't have a lot of information right now. You want to talk to me about the Black Panther movie? I got a lot of information.
So many cool things that you've been able to do as a comic. And this I just categorize as strange.
Right. So it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of creeped me out. So I didn't like. And one of the questions was, what's the purpose of the Harvard Lampoon? What is the Harvard? What is the meaning of the Harvard Lampoon? And Maria was like, it's a magazine that teaches people how to write and do stuff.
To churn out sitcom writers.
And I said, so it creates the head of show business in 10 years? Mm-hmm. And one of the women goes, 10 years?
Oh, my God. I did a podcast, I think, at Harvard, or I was interviewed at Harvard with Marina Franklin.
Yeah.
We were doing a show at the Women's Comedy Festival in Boston. And so somebody, a girl who goes there, wanted to interview us at Harvard. So we went into some old room, and it was very impressive, you know?
It looked really cool. All of Harvard is cool looking.
Yeah.
My favorite thing at Harvard, though, is the glass flower exhibit, which is a blown glass in the turn of the last century, late 1800s, there's a blown glass flowers.
Yeah.
But they're not like pretty flowers. They're for scientific study. They're to be used they show cross sections of stamens and how photosynthesis works, but done in glass. It's so beautiful.
None of this feels right.
It's hard to explain.
Give me Cal State Bakersfield any day of the week.
Tell me more of some obscure Irish history.
It just doesn't. I don't know. That's just
no.
Not
you'd
what
have
normal
to see
colleges
it.
Do.
You'd have to see it. It's and everyone I know who went to Harvard, it told me that the hardest part was getting in, and then everybody was the same level of smart and dumb as in any other college in the
world. Right,
right.
Well, my boss went to Harvard.
Okay.
Conan. And,
he at the Harvard Lampoon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take him that coin?
What? I should.
He probably has one.
He probably
does.
And, he might have minted it.
It's, and then we went to Yale. We went to New Haven.
You went to the
New
college
Haven,
that
Connecticut.
George W. Bush went to.
We didn't go to the college, and quite honestly, it was the theater that we were playing at. First of all, the sound sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the show started, the guy came into it was run by three people, as far as I could tell. The kid who came in, the young man who came in, said to me and Maria, "So what do you guys want me to do about hecklers?" And Maria just looked at him and goes, "There's usually not any hecklers at my show." And he goes, "Oh, it's New Haven. There's going to be hecklers." And she was like, "Well, can you kick them out?" And he goes, "Oh, probably not." And then he walked away.
Huh.
That was the whole thing right there. And it was too echoey for some reason.
So he actually came in to tell you what he was going to do about hecklers, not
ask nothing.
You.
Yeah, just to warn us that there was. And there was some shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email afterwards from someone in the audience who said that there was a woman behind her who threw up in her cup. I was like, so it's a classy night.
Excuse me.
In New
God,
Haven.
She could have thrown up all over that woman. She took the time to throw up in a cup. Listen,
right.
I was at a gig when I was doing Best Week Ever, like in 2006 or 7. And because it was after I had my kid. Yeah, so he's a baby. And so we took a bus out to Pennsylvania. And I was working like with Mike Britt. John Mulaney was doing this stuff. Nick
wow.
Cole was doing it. Melissa Rauch, who's on Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all doing these little 15-minute sets where we made fun of Amy Winehouse.
Aw.
She was alive at the time.
Right,
guys.
Right. Just had that in
context.
Perspective.
But I felt really sick, and I had a purse, and I was around a bunch of college kids, and I just threw up in it. And I pulled up and I zipped my purse and no one knew I'd thrown up. And I went and threw the purse away.
I was going to ask about that. That's not a purse you reuse. It's hard to save that purse.
It was impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, I took like a wallet, whatever I had that I could save because I didn't fill the whole thing up. But no one knew. And then I felt better. I brushed I don't know if I brushed my teeth. I must have just put gum on my mouth because I didn't have a toothbrush with me at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, I threw up on my phone at the time. I had like a little Nokia, you know, and my ex who was cheating on me, and you can tell when someone's cheating on you because they accuse you of cheating, couldn't get a hold of me because I had thrown up on my phone, so my phone wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And he didn't believe that I threw up on my purse. He goes, no one would ever do that. And I said, no, women, girls would. We don't want to be a bother. I still had to go up on stage. I went up on stage after that.
You did your set?
I felt better.
There you go. That's nice.
Showbiz.
That's it. Last time I threw up and then did my set was at the Comedy and Magic Club.
Oh, wow.
It was probably a year ago. For some reason, I had the smallest amount of food poisoning. Did not feel good.
Did you eat any of their dinner?
No, I had not eaten at the Comedy Magic Club. There you go, folks. The Comedy Magic Club did not cause my food poisoning.
No, I was going to say, they have great, great food.
Yeah, they have really good food. And I was up in 3, and I was just sweating and green. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was up in like 2 or 3 people. And I think it was the July thing, so everyone was doing
fives.
Oh,
yeah.
So I just went and threw up. Rinsed out my mouth and then went on stage, did my set, and asked for a bottle of water to go and then drove home.
It's a fucking professional, man. That's what you do. You vomit and tell jokes.
All right. And are we at 30?
27.
Oh, my God. I've been home this week, or I've been in Los Angeles this week just doing spots and trying to, you know... fatten up this little chunklet that I have now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping to, like, by April have it all, you know, ready for possibly a late night set if I can get one. And it's weird. It's like there's two pieces of it that I'm just connecting now, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that there are specific laugh points and there's other places that need more and I don't know what to do. But now that I know I have a couple ending laughs, I can you can kind of play around and part of it's like, okay, I can't just be reciting these jokes. Now I have to like perform them, you know? And part of, you know, what the laugh I'm going to get is how I perform it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's weird that once you get a couple beats, then you can... You know,
then you can relax.
Focus on performing and finding, are there little nuances in here that I'm missing, that I've been missing because I've been so worried about the big picture of how this ending laugh will get. You know?
But as long as you got a laugh on the end,
mm-hmm.
you can do whatever you want in the middle and you can look around. You know, it's sort of like you could spend some time actually just sitting in it.
Yeah.
Looking around at the bit going, what else is in here? I gotta go to the back, see if they have a size 8.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, just something in a red.
Look for a callback. Always look for a callback.
You love a callback.
I love a callback.
I don't like a callback.
Why?
I don't know. I think in 30 years of stand-up, I think I've had 2 callbacks. I never think about them. I'm always like, what I tend to do, which is something like a callback, is that every story goes together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I will do that that you probably don't do is from album to album to album, I have repeated jokes or lines that people have been nice enough to email me and say, hey, you know, you put that joke on the last album. And I was like, it's part of a larger story. So if it's so, which is sort of a callback.
But it call back to it, another $10 piece of work that someone has to invest in.
It's the best callback ever, in the fact that it's the same fucking
money.
Joke. It's the same joke.
That's one could argue, why not wait until that joke is all finished before you put it on an album? If you're putting it up halfway and then you 2 years later you come up with a second half.
Well, how do I know?
That's true.
It's almost impossible to know when a joke is done.
There needs
to
be a machine where you can enter your data, and the machine can tell you if you're 70% finished with this joke or you're 40% finished
that'd
or
be,
100.
That'd be the greatest machine in the world. I would love that machine. Maria got a couple of emails from our Eugene show,
mm-hmm.
and she got this one email from this guy who was like, you did almost all material from your special that came out 6 months ago. And she's written 20 new minutes in the last 7 months.
Wow.
Which, by the way, is as much as you can write without a writing staff.
Plus she was taping a show. She's redoing her show and all that stuff.
And so I was like,
do people not know how hard it is to turn over material? I mean,
and all she was doing was obsessing about it. She was like, so I told him, I was like, should I send him his money back? And I was like,
No, do it. Goodbye. And never come see me again. I want your name. And I want your picture. And I'm going to make sure
my
security looks out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You can never come.
You may not watch my show on Amazon. You may not listen to my album. You may not attend my performances.
Exactly. You are being banned. I'm blocking you in real life.
Yeah.
But here's your $35 to $65 or whatever it was.
$65. Holy shit. I changed my tune. I thought it was like 14 or something.
What do you think she's doing?
Hey, why isn't she writing more material? 65. Come on. Jesus, get a notebook, Maria.
But you know what it did inspire her to do, though? Like whenever anybody criticizes, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes you, because it's not like we all don't have a cacophony in our heads going, yeah, you're a piece of shit. I wish you were a better comic. But it made her practice her hour.
Yeah.
And she ran it and she ran it and she ran it three times that day, the day before, I think Boston.
In the hotel room?
Yeah, I think she did it once over the phone.
To
with
you?
With a friend.
Okay.
And she did it twice by herself, just running lines.
She calls somebody who does her entire hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good friend. I've been that friend.
Now I know why we're not that close. It's, Maria
you
and I.
How about you and I? Boston was amazing.
Three times in a day?
Yeah, she performed.
Jesus Christ. And then she had to perform it twice in front of an audience?
Just once.
Oh my God, still.
And we're going on this Joko cruise, right? And she just signed up. There's regular shows on the Joko cruise. She signed up to perform an hour of work on all the just new premises every day of 7 days, an hour.
A new hour of premises every day?
No, the hour of premises that she's working on.
Okay.
She's got like an hour.
It's an 8 a.m. show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to do this cruise.
Yeah. Well, you need to be a nerd. I'll tell them about your HTML experiences.
No. Mention CSS. Those cascading style sheets. That's where it's really at.
That's where the true dorkdom is. It's, yep.
Well.
I think we're ready to do our comic of the week.
Yes. I can't believe we're only at a half. I'm exhausted.
Well, I have one more topic, and then all I can talk about is the new premise that I have that I'm only working on in my head.
Okay. Let's postpone for a second, because I was on, wait, what? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I wanted to delay that just because after we do Comic of the Week, I'm like, I feel
TikTok.
Like we're always excited, like, oh, there's only 10 more minutes, you know? It's like,
oh, do you want to do
it's
it
like
at 50?
If I'm doing 10 200s and I'm at number 8, But all of a sudden, we're at number. I'm at five. No, no, no. Let's just push it a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So I was what?
34.
All right. Fuck it. Let's do it.
No, tell your story though.
Okay.
Because I want to hear it.
Well, I was on Carmen Morales's podcast.
Oh, okay.
With Brian Vogt.
Yeah.
V O G T. Vogt.
I think it's
vote.
Vote, or I think it's vote.
But there's
vote.
A G in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
I've met. He's a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
That's what I know about him.
Yes,
he's so a funny
we're
guy.
Talking about Cat Williams' special, and he had seen it and said it's like the first. And it's funny because the first like 10 minutes are all about streets in Jacksonville, Florida.
It's really
specific to Jacksonville, but I was watching it. It was interesting. I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing. I was kind of doing other stuff, so kind of half watching.
Did you watch it after Carmen Morales' podcast?
Okay. Yeah. So he walks out. Of course, he's in like a sparkle suit. You know, it's got it's like gold sparkles and stuff.
It's the Electric Horseman.
Yeah.
Do it.
I mean, he's just he's beyond comedy in a way. He's just Cat Williams, right? And there's like six women that. They look like models. They're probably models, and they're in really short dresses, and they're all holding a briefcase. So he walks out. He kind of nods to them, and they nod back, and then they take their briefcases and they walk off stage. And I'm like, "What? What's happening here?
Who are they? That's the craziest sight gag ever."
Yes. So maybe they come back. I haven't watched the end of it.
Oh, I was gonna say.
But he also had this kind of a cool shot where the camera was like at the back of the stage. And he did a bit where he was doing an impression of anchors on election night, you know, when they start doing all this stuff with their hands on their maps and stuff. And so the shot, even though the audience was seeing his back, you could see Cat kind of doing this miming. And it was kind of it was just a cool shot. I hadn't seen it in a stand-up special.
That's interesting.
And he made me laugh, but it wasn't like, because I always have the captions on, and it's never like, oh, that's a... For him, it's not like, oh, that's a great show. When it shows up on captions, it doesn't look funny. You know what I mean?
Because it's a whole package.
It's the package. It's that tiny little angry man and that fucking tinny voice. I mean, he's got a lot physically going on.
Right.
Like, those are physical gifts, as far as I'm concerned, as a comic. Just like having long arms is a physical gift as a swimmer. You know what I mean? Having that voice. You know,
right.
whatever he does vocally, it's anyway, it's worth seeing the first few minutes just to check out how it looks, just how it looks. Like the backdrop is he's got a couple waterfalls. It's very over the top, but the camera work was kind of cool looking.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Okay, let's do comic of the week.
All right.
Here's the thing. I couldn't remember her name.
Yep.
Iman,
I worked with her.
Iman El Husseini.
Yeah, I think it's
Husseini.
I think it's Husseini.
Okay, but I thought it was like Iman, like David Bowie's wife, and so
right.
I couldn't find her on Twitter.
But
and it's Iman with
yes.
an E.
Yes, and Imanif.
How what?
Imanifique.
Oh, Imanifique. Yes,
Imanifique.
On Twitter.
Which I think is I like it when someone takes your name and turns it into a cool Twitter handle, Imanifique, especially
sure.
when her last name is El Husseini.
Yes,
so it's hard to.
Do you remember a couple months ago I was talking about how I stumbled into Gotham and I'd just been working a lot of mostly dude shows in New York, and there was this woman on stage, a Canadian female comic, and I was like, ah, oh, a woman, and I realized that feeling that I think women audience members have of thank God it's
right,
just right off the bat you're like one of us,
yes,
and it was Iman,
and she's super funny. I worked with her
she's
in
very
Montreal,
funny. Yeah, yeah,
at the Comedy Nest,
mm-hmm.
and she was hilarious,
yeah.
And what's weird is that my sister just saw her wife do stand up comedy in Minneapolis, and she
just. Sullivan or
Jess? I thought it was Solomon.
I thought it was Sullivan.
But Jess, and
we're fucking up both their names.
Yeah, let's fuck up everybody's name, but find Imanifique and ask her what her wife's name is.
Yeah.
No, find, because they're both, Darla loved Jess a great deal.
Yeah.
And I really liked Iman.
Yeah.
So that's a power couple. I love it when comics are a couple and they're super funny, both of them. You know, kind of like Jared and Kara.
Oh, yeah.
Jared Logan and...
Are they out as a couple?
I'm right. Solomon?
Solomon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they out as a couple?
I think so.
Okay.
I believe so. Because,
you know, I have a different take on comedy couples.
But you know what? I'm sure it'll work out for all of them.
Well, yes, you would. You would have a different take on that.
I'm sure, and no one will feel competitive with the other. I'm sure it'll work out for everybody else.
Right. Everybody's super supportive. And,
so. Maybe lesbian comedy couples have a different dynamic. Maybe.
Yeah, because the, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway.
Pointing towards that other couple. There's a couple
Cameron
of couples.
Cameron and Rhea.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know who was I thinking? I was thinking of, I forgot about them for a second, and they had a TV show. So
oh my God.
I don't know why I forgot about them.
There's no point in having any career goals at this point.
Well, there's certainly no
just
point
just
in
do
me.
Your best and be happy. But that's another, like, you know, again, I had never seen her before, and she was really funny, and I was like, where? And, oh, of course, she's in Canada.
Yeah,
Canada,
another great
they
Canadian.
Grow for like 10 years under the radar, and then they come here fully formed.
And blow the world away.
Yes.
Yep.
Am I still on? Okay.
Yep.
I got to check now.
Yeah, you should
with
check.
With your fingers within Swap. 6 inches of any sort
Let me
of
turn off
hardware.
Your mic. Click. And so I'm doing Acme this week. And
so you're leaving on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wait. Today's Tuesday. You're leaving tomorrow.
A week from today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
oh, the week this
yeah,
drops.
The week this goes up.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm at Acme with Brandy Brown, and she's emceeing. Great comic from Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this going up the 5th? Yeah. Oh, I'm at Flappers this weekend, Los Angeles.
The weekend after the
9th and 10th, I'm at Flappers. Doing
the Burbank Flappers?
Yes. During the 8 and 10:30. Yeah. Doing regular sets. I'll be selling Shitty Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm at the West Side on a Tuesday night in Santa Monica.
Oh, that's
I got
awesome.
A couple nights off to hang out with Miho.
Yay.
That is so great. So I did an interview for the local paper, and I do one every time with this guy, and it's always fun. But this time, for some reason, he decided to ask me if it was better for women comics now.
Oh.
Which he knows better than to ask that. But I was like, he's such a good guy. PF, I forget his last name off.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good guy. He's been on the Dork Forest. But he... So he goes, is it better for women comics? And I told him some horror story about how what the newer women, they have each other to stare at now, right? That's my
At open mics, you mean?
Yeah, at open mics and in green rooms. Sometimes there's more than one woman now.
Right.
And so if somebody says some nightmare, you know, like, hey, if you sit, that's the chair where you get fingered later. Or whatever. Some fucking bullshit some gross dude said to me one time.
Oh, right.
And so I told him that story, and literally, like, moments later, he's like, well, that was great. I'm gonna hang up. And I felt bad for him because, you know, he was trying to be supportive, and I was like, just in passing, some horrible thing that somebody said to me that I've never told anyone before.
Oh.
But I had not told anyone before because other women have told the horror story, I'm like, oh, I could tell this horror story and no one will be surprised. Turns out people are still surprised at the horror stories.
Okay. So somebody we know, I don't know if this is like, you know, she told me this isn't a horror story at all, unless you like to eat. She's doing, can you hear me? Cause I can't hear. Okay. She's doing a thing where she eats from 10 to 6.
10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yes. And then she doesn't eat after 6 p.m.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yes. But she's out every night. She's a stand-up.
Right. So she's out late.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but she's done eating at 6.
Yeah.
Guess what then happens with Jackie Cation? She goes to sleep at 6:30. And then she wakes up.
I can't go out. Oh, my God. That's so hot. I've been just trying to, like, delay. I was like, all right, I'm going to try to delay. When I get home, like, when I get home from work and I have to go out to a show, I have like a little bit of time and I'm hungry, and I just come home so hungry. I just like fucking shove food in my mouth quickly.
Right.
And because I'm so hungry, and I'm like, let me just try to be hungry for 10 minutes so I don't feel violent.
Right.
You know?
And just let yourself be hungry.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not going to kill me. It's just a little bit of hunger.
Yeah.
And this one, it doesn't eat after 6 p.m. So I can do a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat.
Right. Because you're going to be up till midnight.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get up at 7.
Like, when I'll come home from this podcast, I'm going to want to eat something.
Right.
Don't you want to eat when you get home from shows?
I want to eat all the time. You know, it's not cool.
How do people not eat when they come home from shows? Unless they're alcoholics.
Because then they drink.
Yeah, right.
Or they pass out. Here's the bit that I am working on so far only in my head, mm-hmm. which is...
Are you claiming this? Are you right now going, uh-oh, she's having a conversation about something I've claimed as material and I need to pull my dick out and piss all over it so she doesn't...
Allow me to mark this as mine.
Yeah.
No, because the thing is eating food when you shouldn't eat food, that belongs to all of us. Men, women, children, everyone gets to have an eating thing.
Disorder.
Yes, if it's a disorder or just an order. Because I was thinking about how I am... Because I've been working on this thing about how much I meddle at the restaurant level. Like, I'm constantly stacking my own dishes and helping people, handing
how you
water.
Meddle there? What do
yeah,
you mean?
It's almost like I've punched in.
Oh, I see.
It's like, allow me to somehow...
meddle. I thought you meant metal, like the metal that you got from the Harvard Club.
Yeah. Meddle. No. I'm a meddler.
Yes,
like, I'm a helper.
M-E-D-D-L-E.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the bit I was working on, and I was like, you know, I think I'm so well adjusted and so confident and so sure of myself. If I was so sure of myself, I wouldn't. There's part of me that's like, well, you wouldn't be 60 pounds overweight, and you wouldn't constantly be trying to help people to make them like you. In addition, because I would just do stand up, right?
Yeah.
And because people already like me, it's all working out.
I'm sick of people liking you. I tell them what a shithole you are, and they don't believe me. I'm trying to take your numbers
all
down.
All I have to listen to is about what an amazing human you are. It's like, man, have you ever thought? Poor Andy Ashcraft last night said to me. He said, "Have you? You know what I think would be great for your stand up?" And I said, "Oh no! What's happening? What's happening?" He's like, "That's why I want you to." He wants me to record me doing stand up. Without an audience. He's like, then you could hear your timing and you could hear what was right or wrong about it. And I was like,
No, none of those things are happening. That doesn't help.
None of those things are happening. That's a different comic.
Yeah. That's a comic who gets good at not getting laughs.
Right? Right. Very possible. And I am not a comic who practices. I run some lines alone in my car sometimes.
Yes, when I'm driving to the gig. Yes, sacred time. Sacred writing time.
And it's just like me trying to get the words right for like two sentences, though.
Yeah.
Or set up punch. Just a couple of beats. There's not... The way Maria does it is an entirely different thing. And she wouldn't ever tape it and then listen to it. I was like, when we first met, Andy asked me if I had ever thought about doing an in-studio album with no audience. And I was like, no.
Andy has some terrible ideas. Well, let me just be honest.
Let's just talk briefly about how that's not how stand-up comedy works. There has to, it's like, because he said 7 days, have you done 7 minutes of purgatory?
Mm-mm.
Who is that? Sean? Is it not Sean Patton? It's
It's a show.
Yeah, it's
maybe
a show.
I don't know.
There's a camera. No, you would remember because there's a camera on you. There's an audience in the room, but you're performing to the camera in a soundproof booth.
Oh, for God's sake!
Right. It's a
come
theme.
On.
It's a project.
Who books it?
Right. Right.
No. Here's the thing. But even like when I'm practicing in the car or at a hotel room, sometimes I do go over my entire set if I haven't done a long set. You know.
Yeah.
But in my head, I hear the audience laughing. I don't just, I'm doing an entire show and I've made it up a crowd as well so that I can get through this thing by myself. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's,
let the record note, Jackie is distracted
looking
by
up
her
7 minutes
phone.
In purgatory.
Okay. I see. I didn't think you lied. Thank you.
No, I'm just trying to, for the love of Christ, it's Ian Abramson.
Oh, okay.
That's who it is. I'm like, I need his name to be in my brain because I really like him. He's a really
That's two
interesting...
two Ians that you blanked on
tonight. Ian Carmel and Ian Abramson. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get them mixed up.
Mm.
And they're both the same generation as Sean Patton.
Right.
And I love Sean Patton. And so, I mean, there's that is a hell of a that's a hell of a class.
Yes,
that the guys that are all I don't know what are they 32?
Like the Canaan age.
I think
Canadian's a little older.
Yeah, I think he's a little older. I think he's like a half a generation ahead of them.
Okay, yeah.
But Funches,
yes,
is in that group.
Yes,
and those gentlemen are all they're great.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. I like them as people. I like them as comics.
Yeah,
and so it's
isn't it? That's the weird thing about the younger male comics is they're really supportive.
Yeah,
and they're not. They treat you like a real comic. Like
cover
that
kind of
startled
Kyle.
Me sometimes. Because I was always treated like
startling.
The little sister or, you know, like
best case scenario, little sister.
This guy.
Yeah.
You know,
is either they wanted to screw you or
I've known you since you started and I saw you when you sucked. And as far as I'm concerned, you're still that girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kyle's not looking.
He's not looking. So it's guy. He's a blowhard.
But that's
what he is.
That was the generation of male comics that I started with, and they were they looked down on all comics starting like that. And then the female comics were a lesser version of the male
just a second class citizen after that.
To be treated like with respect from the younger male comics is always shocking to me.
It is shocking. They respect your comedy.
Yeah.
They respect you as a person.
Yeah.
And plus that's why I think Lewis Lee usually puts me with a new, he used to always put me with either an MC or a feature that had never worked that spot before.
Oh.
And I was like, why can't I work with someone who still lives here that just likes to feature an MC? And he was like, I like to put you with the new comics because you're not going to be an asshole to them. and I was like, well, who are you booking? And he's like, stop talking. He's like, I'm not going to tell you about this guy.
So. give it to me.
And it's like, it's just, he's just a ball buster to all new comics, male and female.
Oh, yeah. You write his name frequently.
I do write his name.
I haven't had those experiences with him.
Well, that's because you are better than him.
No, that's not.
You're a better comic than him, let me say that you're a better person than he is.
But I've interacted with him. I've known him for quite a while,
sure.
And I haven't. You're the only one I've heard say those stories. The other people I know that know him really like him.
Yes,
but I believe you. Jackie.
No, he is. He's not unlikable.
Right.
He's just not someone I want to spend more than 10 minutes with.
Okay.
It doesn't, and his stand-up is just okay for me. There's a low bar.
Okay.
It's not super, it doesn't mean, there's a
He
whole,
doesn't have six models on stage with suitcases?
No. And he's not wearing his Liberace suit.
I fucking want a Liberace suit.
Well,
now
you
could have
got
one
at Target Christmas.
I saw this woman, there's like, I don't know, it popped up on Twitter Moments, I think, or BuzzFeed, whatever. You know, I was looking for some news story, and then because the internet knows my age now, they keep putting like middle-aged women in my
right
now this, you know, and it's all, but it's this lady who's
purple
like,
clover.
I don't know what that is.
It's a middle-aged lady, kind of like the hilarity of being a middle-aged lady.
Oh, okay. There's this lady, her name's Alternative Icon, I think, but she's 64 and she's super skinny. Like she has the body of a young model, but she's just like, you know,
okay.
64.
But she's in her 60s.
She looks good. Her hair's cut really nice and it's gray and silver and stuff. And she looks her age. She looks old, way older than 12 years older than us, by the way. But she fucking dresses like a 14-year-old. And not like showing skin, but just like a really put together teenager. And she looks amazing. And I was like,
oh, she's having
man.
The time of her life
yes!
in those clothes?
Yes. And people stop and take pictures of her because she looks so cool.
Right.
And I'm like, why can't, maybe we can, but
that
I've never been a clothes person.
Right.
And I have to lose 100 pounds.
Well,
I just bought some sleeping bras. That's where I'm at. I just got some new ones. They're coming out.
Congratulations.
At me from Amazon.
I went to the Town Shop. Have you ever been to the Town Shop in New York City?
Where's that?
It's a bra store on Broadway in like 82nd.
Yes, I did.
It's the
I
best
went. I got my nursing bras there.
It's great.
Yeah.
I went with my friend Jenny Bergman, who owns the West Side Kids.
But I get those $19 bras I told you about on Amazon.
I just ordered a new one.
Yeah. But did you get a bra from the town center?
No, I got a bodysuit. I found
like a Spanx thing?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because you told the story of your Spanx thing, and I was like,
why did that inspire you? I had gas, and I felt sick to my stomach. Why were you like, I got to get me that?
Because I don't mind a Spanx.
Okay.
And but all of my Spanx are, the day has come.
Okay.
And it's time to move on from a couple of bodysuits.
Yeah, they do stretch out.
Yeah.
It's true.
There you go. Another great topic. I'm doing some weird shows this week before, like, this will come out after.
Yeah.
But I'm doing Drunk-a-log.
Yeah.
On Saturday at the clubhouse.
Do you have to get drunk?
No. No, no. You talk
about...
What if
you broke your sobriety for a show at the clubhouse?
I think everyone would be really, really disappointed.
Not me.
Not you.
I'd
you
be
would
like,
find
comedy
it.
First.
Comedy first.
Sobriety second.
Yes, comedy would definitely be second if I started drinking again. It's whenever people hand you drugs and you're like, yeah, I'll do it. And that's it.
That's how I am with food. I'll try it.
The first thing that goes, I'm sorry. When I left your apartment last was Sunday when we recorded, you were like, do you want my apple? And I was like, that's a red, delicious apple. I don't ever want that apple.
I offered you something from my home, and that's how you treat me.
You
and
said that's why you knew you could offer it to me, because you knew it was like something I didn't want.
I ate it. It was so good.
I doubt that. How could it be good?
It was delicious.
Was it a red delicious?
Yes.
Was it red and delicious?
Yes.
I don't. And then the only, I don't know. Where are we at?
55.
Well, that's all right.
Bad. All right.
We got one more 100 and then we're done. I did 10 200s this morning. Meters. Now, the interval was very slow. I remember the
don't beat yourself up.
I used to do,
right,
and I'm mortified. I'm like, well, but you know what? I want to build up, and I want to get a little faster, and try to take it down 5 seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Till I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah,
I'll never go back to, you know, the old intervals. This is dropping the 4th or the 5th, right after the Super Bowl. Okay, so last weekend you missed me at the Renton Civic Center in Seattle. Here's what I have to do. So Jamal Harrington offered me this gig, and I said, well, yeah, I could do the Friday show, but I can't leave work until we're done with work. And it's an 8 o'clock show, and I got a flight that gets in at 7:53, and they're going to just start the show a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I'm the thing on Friday, everything's got to run on time.
Yeah.
I got to get out like by 4 because it leaves at 5:15. So it gives me 15 to get to the airport. I mean, I can budget a little bit because I'm pre.
Yeah.
But, and it's Burbank Airport, so it's no
Burbank.
Big deal.
Short.
Yeah, it's very short.
Where's the Jamal gig?
It's in the Renton Civic Center, which is near Seattle. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have a show Saturday and then come home on Sunday.
Wow.
That's that.
Yeah. I inadvertently booked, so I'm going to Acme. And then on Sunday, I'm flying from Minneapolis to Milwaukee to stare at my father for 2 days.
Tell your dad I said hi. Does he listen to our podcast?
He does not. He has a flip phone.
Oh.
He is not on the internet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate that. But I was supposed to stay till Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which is fine because him and my brother both get sick of me after two meals anyway.
Yeah.
Like if I'm there the third day and I say to my brother, do you want to have breakfast? He's like, nah, I got to go to work. And I'm like, you know, I live 3,000 miles away and I'm leaving tomorrow. But the third meal, he's done.
Yeah.
So we usually just have two meals. And then he drags me off to church that we don't ever sit through. So, I'm getting there Sunday night, so I'm going to miss church. And that's fine. Thank you. I appreciate the fact that I'm going to miss a 3-hour service.
You just reminded me that Nazis were atheists.
The Nazis were atheists. Let's bookend
with that. Now, to me, Hitler was a Christian, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my God. He liked dogs. Is that something?
They were raised by Christians. God, there's this good trilogy of movies by this I don't think he's German. He's like Slovak or Polish maybe. And there's this one. Do you know this movie? It's got the word white in it. It's about Germany, turn of the century, before World War One, like And it's about child abuse in Germany. And basically, it kind of
another
the premise,
cheerful documentary.
The premise sets up that Germans were so harsh as parents that they raised a group of children that could easily be kind of beaten into submission by an Adolf Hitler. But they don't hit you over the head with it. Like, it's...
And it's called something like white supremacy.
It's got
or
the word white in it because it all takes place in the snow in Germany.
Right.
And well, there's molestation. It's got all the classic family
you're
stuff
looking
I
for.
Love.
Yeah. You're just like, how can I be sadder?
Yeah.
It's the crying jag. I forgot what story I was telling. It could have been anything.
You're itching yourself, though. Is it rash related? Wow. I do see it.
I got a shitload of rash all over me. And it's annoying. I would like it to go away.
When did it come?
It came when I was staying at the Hampton Inn in
a couple
Midtown.
Days ago?
No, a week ago.
Oh.
So it's still there. And it's all on the back of my legs and it's I'm telling myself it's a rash and not bed bugs, but I boiled all of my clothes that were in my bag just in case.
Right.
And moved forward.
Well, you can go to the doctor there, right?
Yeah, but what are they going to do? Give me itch cream? Don't itch cream?
Well,
doesn't
want to know what it is? Aren't you curious?
But I don't know that they'll be able to tell.
Well,
I certainly will never know unless
what
I
are you,
go.
My mother, that's what she does. Well, what if, just fucking go to the doctor. They'll tell you what, they could probably figure it out. They have medical degrees, Jackie.
They've spent some time.
They study these things.
It. I'm leaving.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.